asked me this morning, what's the title of your thing, the sermon today? And I said, I don't know. And then Margaret asked me, and then I thought, okay. And then so I finally said, whose plan is it anyway? So that's what it is. And basically, you're going to get to hear my testimony. You're going to hear about me today. Not because I'm anything important, but because I believe that the Lord has told me to tell you about myself and what my life has been and how he's moved in it and how my plans were not his plans. Because if they were my plans, probably wouldn't be standing here right now. You know, I think he sometimes he looks at us and he just smiles and he says, you know, when I was thinking about doing this and I'm thinking, he's probably laughing, thinking about, well, I remember 20 years ago when you were this, that's not who you are today. You know, I'll show you who you're going to be, you know. But basically, when I came into this world 74 years ago, as a baby boomer, as they call us, most of us in this room anyhow, I came into this world into a normal, what they call a normal American family. And you could put my entire family where we lived practically in this room because we all lived in four houses, all practically right next to each other. So I had a really normal life and really good life. And I was raised in a Catholic family, I'll say that, and given a Catholic education, which, you know, was a good education that I didn't take advantage of because I was working my plan instead of God's plan. And, you know, I heard a lot about God. If you're raised in the Catholic Church, you know, you hear a lot about God. And, you know, you go to Mass and you go to all the things that you have to do all the time. But, you know, as I was growing up in the Catholic Church and in my education, I knew of him, but I didn't really know him. I didn't know who God was in a personal relationship with him. And in all honesty, I kind of probably really lived in a state of fear of God because of, you know, all the things that I thought that I did wrong. You know, and, you know, like I said, I had a great, great family and a great time growing up. I really did enjoy growing up where I grew up. I grew up in a nice town and in a lot of good people, and I still see a lot of the same people I grew up with. So I'm still friends with a lot of those people. But, you know, as I got out of high school, my plan was like probably everybody else's in this room. Well, I'm going to get out of high school. I'm either going to go back to school to go to college, or I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to live my life. You know, and I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time while I'm doing it. You know, I grew up. I got out of high school, and I was not a great student, so I kind of edged my way into UC. I probably shouldn't have been accepted, but I was. And then I got to UC, and then my lifestyle changed. All of a sudden, I was kind of pretty laid back in high school. But when I got to UC, it was like, oh boy, it's party time. And guess what? That's exactly what it was for a year and a half. It was party time. I learned a lot on how to drink a lot of beer, and I learned a lot on how to shoot pool. But I didn't get much of an education because it didn't last. Because by the time my year and a half was up, they didn't want anything to do with me, and I didn't want anything to do with them. I was done. So that part of my plan went sideways. So that now I had to decide, okay, what am I going to do for work? Now I got to go out and I got to start earning some money. So I found myself a job working in a paper factory, and I go over in Lachlan. And I'm over there in Lachlan, and I'm working in this paper factory, and it's nasty, and it's dirty, and it's hot, and it's just unbelievable. And I'm sitting there, and I go in there, and the first day they put me in there, they put me on this machine with a guy who's about 6'4" and about 240 pounds. And my job is to load the cardboard into the machine that prints the Tide box. So he picks up a stack of cardboard sheets like that, which weigh about 75 pounds, and he snaps them like a rubber band to get the pockets out of them so it'll feed in the machine. By the end of the first day, my arms look like they've been through a meat grinder. So it didn't take me long to figure out I didn't want to do this the rest of my life. So there goes plan number two. So I keep going, and the next thing you know, I just kind of went back to, you know, and I did learn some stuff when I was at UC. I did learn some accounting and stuff, and I started in an accounting job, you know, an entry-level job, and okay, So I've decided office work is going to be my plan now. Well, you know, all those went by the wayside. And then it's time for, okay, all right, you're 22 years old. It's time to get married. So I did. I found a girl that I fell in love with, and we got married, and we had a son. And after about 4 and a half years, she decided that wasn't going to work out for her anymore, and we're getting a divorce, and I lost my son because she went away with a guy who joined the Navy, and they went to California. And I lost contact with my son, because I never could find her. I tried to and never could find her. And that went for a long time. And that's not something I thought that I would have happened to me. And I was in a really low, low place in my life. And I'm still not walking with the Lord, so guess what I'm doing? I'm crying out to him, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just being me. So now along here I am, I'm trying to make myself, you know, I'm 27 years old, trying to find my way in the world, not knowing what to do. And about 3 or 4 years later, I find another lady and I decide, well, I'm going to get married again. And I do. And we get married, and we have a son, and she has a daughter who was 3 at the time. And that lasts about 5 years, and that ends. Now I'm a 2-time loser. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm thinking, God, how can you do this to me? How can my life be this miserable? You know, I'm trying to plan myself out, trying to thinking I'm doing the right things, you know, trying to, you know, get to where I need to be in life and trying to figure out, you know. And of course, you know, being a two-time loser, all the guys that I grew up with and who are all my dear friends, I kind of cut them off because I figured they don't want anything to do with the guy who's a two-time loser. They're all married, living a happy life, you know, going their way, and I'm by myself. So I'm out there on, really, I felt like very lonely. And very angry. Matter of fact, not just very angry, extremely angry and extremely hurt and depressed and not knowing where to go. So now I'm 35 years old and all my plans are gone. Everything that I thought my life was going to be scripted out as is just a piece of garbage. Throw it away. And I'm still not walking with the Lord. Still not knowing who God is. And I'm still out partying a little bit. Still trying to make a living. But after the second divorce, the one thing I did get out of it is I got custody of my son. So I went from being a married parent with two kids to a single parent with one. And after my second, right before my second divorce, I lost my job. And it was in a time when finding what I was doing at the time, which was I was a salesman, it was hard to find a job in what I was doing. So I ended up homeless for a while as a single parent. We were staying in people's friends' houses and people we didn't hardly even know. We'd borrow a room in their house for a couple weeks till we could find someplace else. I had a time where I had rented an apartment, and it was so bad I couldn't pay the rent that I had my daughter in with me who was seven, or she was eight at the time, I think. And I rented a U-Haul truck and pulled up at 3 o'clock in the morning at the apartment and moved out, snuck out of the apartment, moved out everything out of my apartment from the third floor. All the furniture and everything I carried down the steps myself and had my daughter babysit my son in the truck while I did it. And, of course, what did I do then? I moved into some lady's house that I barely knew because, you know, I met her through a singles group. And she said, I'll just come. You can stay here. Okay, that's fine. I did that. And I was just still figuring out what I was going to do. So, you know, all these laid out plans weren't going very well. And still, here I was, not walking with the Lord, not knowing God as I should know him, as I know him now. And it was really tough. But then I found another friend of mine who had a huge house, and I moved in with him, and he and I, we lived together. He was a great guy, great guy. And we lived there for 3 years until I got back on my feet. I took a job as a car salesman. That's what I did. Earning straight commission. How smart was that? Not real smart. But I learned real fast how to do it. I learned real fast how to do it just so I could support myself and got an apartment. And it was right about that time in my life, after 2 or 3 years into that, that once again, I, being my usual self, and I still like to go out and have a little fun, I stumbled into a bar one night. A bar. On the way home from work, because I didn't have to, you know, it was late, and my son was with his mother. And lo and behold, I walked into this bar, which was packed to the gills. And I'll tell you this story. It was so packed that when I pulled into the parking lot, there was no place to park. And I said to myself, I won't be here very long because I got to work tomorrow. So I just stopped my car wherever I could stop it, double parked it. And I walked in, it was packed, and I snuggled up to the bar. And lo and behold, who was sitting at that bar? There she is. And we got to talking. And, you know, I don't know, we were there an hour maybe. Maybe a little over an hour. And I said, I got to go home, you know. And she said, I'm going to go too. And I said, well, I'll walk you out to your car. And we walked out, and lo and behold, I had double parked behind her car. That's when the plans changed. I still didn't know that the plans had changed, but that's when the plans changed. And it took me a month to call her back. But about a year later, we got married. That's been 36 years next month. But, you know, I'm still not really walking with the Lord and knowing the Lord. And she asked me to come to a picnic that this church used to have on Friday nights over at Winton Woods. And I said, okay, I'll go. I really didn't even want to know the Lord. I didn't want anything to do with religion or church or anything at all. But I did. I went over. And we left, and I said, those are the craziest people I've ever met in my life. They are totally out of their mind. If you think I'm ever going to do that, you're nuts. And she didn't say a word. She didn't say a word. She was very, you know, okay. But lo and behold, wasn't long, I'm walking in the door. And here I am, you know, I'm walking in the door of the church down in Elmwood. And Oscar's there, and Clyde's there, and Brenda's there. And they're all welcoming me. Hey, nice to see you, you know. Brother Eddie, he was there. You know, it was an experience. But I'm still kind of, you know, okay, I'll show up, but that's all I'm going to do. Look at me. I'm just going to show up. And nobody's pushing me. But the Lord's pushing me, and I don't even know it. He's pushing me forward in places I never thought I'm going to go. But I didn't know it. And it was really quite an experience, because I can remember very, very vividly a lot of the things that happened down in Elmwood that moved me. You know, me being in some Christmas play, or me, you know, kind of stuff like that. And nobody ever pushed me, said, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. Everybody let me walk at my own pace. And at that time, I was working for a dealer out in Fairfield, and one of the guys I was working with was going to Bible school at night, and he ended up being a pastor. And he ended up in a little church over in Westchester, and And they were having a revival, and he said, "Why don't you come?" And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm still thinking, there is no way I am going to a revival and have some guy scream and yell at me and carry on like, you know. And I said, it's not happening. Well, we went. And I'm sitting in the back of this church, and this guy doing the revival was some guy from Kentucky. I don't know where he was from, but he was from down here in Kentucky somewhere. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, and I'm listening to him, and I can hear the Lord said to me, "I'm talking to you. You. It's time for you to come forward." And I tell you what, I started shaking and crying, and I went forward and gave my life to the Lord that night. And it was just like everything just came off of me. All that garbage was going away. And it was incredible. But the Lord, that's when the Lord met me. That's when he really met me face to face that night. And unlike a lot of people, I wasn't out, you know, running around saying, "Hey, I got saved now," you know, blah, blah, blah. It was just, I just went back to my normal self and kind of just kept it to myself pretty much. And just kept right on going. And we came back to church here, and we were going to church here. And then all of a sudden I got a wild hair that it's time for me to go to Florida. I felt the Lord told me it's time for me to learn something down in Florida. So we moved to Florida, and we found a church down there, which Captain wasn't real thrilled with, and that's, I understand. But I learned a heck of a lot from the guy who was the pastor there. He really helped me. I took big steps down there. And then we came home. When it was time to come home, we came home. And that's where my plans were not his. That's where God's plans were in play. He took me to places I didn't think I'd go. He did things in my life that I didn't think I'd do. Oscar asked me to speak at the City Gospel Mission. I remember standing up there going, not even know what to say. But, you know, the Lord was still moving in my life. His plans were moving. You know, we gave an altar call, and nobody came forward. I tell this, say, Oscar knows this. I'm walking out of the building. Some guy walks up to me and grabs me by the shoulder and says, "I knew when you started speaking, you were speaking to me." And I thought, whoa. I don't even remember what I said. Much less, you know, how could I possibly affect a guy at the City Gospel Mission by something that I said? How could I do that? There was only one way. And that was another big change in my life. Because then I realized that I'm just not, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to be what I say I want to be, I want to be a Christian, and I want to be walking with the Lord, I have to watch who I am and what I do. And I did. I started paying attention. Started paying attention to that. But, you know, we all carry baggage. We all have baggage from when we're young. And I was still carrying a lot of baggage. I was really angry at my second wife. I was really angry at my first wife. I was really, really sad that I couldn't see my first son, my firstborn. But then the Lord brought him back in my life. He brought him back in my life when he was, 17, 18? 18 years old. And now we have a really good relationship. You know? I mean, it just goes to show you how the Lord's, you know, I think what he was trying to tell me is, you weren't ready for all that you thought you were ready for. You weren't prepared to be the person that you needed to be. And he waited and prepared me when it was time. You know, and I still carry baggage. But you know something? Every day if I think about stuff anymore, and I look at it and I say, you know, that's in the past. That's not who I am anymore, and that's not part of who I want to be anymore. You know, it's been over and done with, and I don't want it anymore. Get rid of it. Just give it back to the Lord. You know, there's no sense in giving it up to the Lord and then taking it back. Because, you know, every time you take it back, it gets worse. Just give it up. Look forward to what you have today. And that's what I try and do every day when I wake up. And that's why I think about his what his plans are for me. Right now, I don't have any idea where I'm going in the Lord. But I know this, if I wake up and I thank him for each day that I wake up today, that I have an opportunity to carry out what he wants me to do that day. Ask him every day for the wisdom to carry out whatever you have planned for me today. I don't ask him to help me, the wisdom to carry it out. Because if I carry it out with his wisdom, then I don't have to worry about it. Even if I mess it up. You know, I think everybody in this room can have a story just like I said. Everybody in this room probably got something just like that. Everybody. Things that they wish they hadn't done. Regrets that they have over things they have done. You know, there were times not long ago where I thought my life was going to crash again. Well, Kath was having some issues with some stuff, and I thought, you know, all the years that we've been married were going to end pretty quickly. But God wouldn't let me give up. He would not allow me to give up. And I will be the first to say, my first inclination was get everything lined up so when this comes to an end, you can keep right on moving. But I didn't. I did not. Because God knew what he had a plan for us. Not just for me, but for her. And for us together. So like I said, I think everybody in this room can look back and say, hey, I've got regrets over this and I've got regrets over that, or I wish I wouldn't have done this, or look at how I look at this. You know, between the ages of 18 and 25, I was a fool. I was drinking like crazy. I was partying like crazy. I was driving around. you know, we were talking today in Sunday school about driving fast. I love to drive fast. I should have brought the picture, but I didn't. But at 20 years old, I had a really, really fast car. Luckily, I wasn't driving it tonight, but I was with a guy one night, and we were drag racing up Reading Road, and we were doing about 110 mile an hour. And we came over a little hill, and there was a red light, and the light was red. And the other guy was in a GTO, he was right next to us. And we got airborne, and when we hit the ground, he hit the brakes. And by the time we slid through the intersection, we hit five cars. Bounced off of them. Almost head on, by the way. But the only thing I had got out of it, I got a cut down my arm here. You know, the truth of the matter is we both probably should have been killed that night. Fortunately, nobody really got hurt bad. But see, God's plan wasn't for me to go that night. God's plan, it was, okay, 50 years later, you're standing here. Now, figure that out. And I used to do all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And never even think twice about it, you know? But like I said, you know, we all have our lives that are, you know, we have terrible things that happen in our lives. We have really sad things that happen in our lives. But God's plans are always good. They're always going to end up for our good. You know, I love Jeremiah 29:11. It says, I have a plan for you to help you prosper and give you a future. I used to tell Kathy all the time, I'll never retire. I'll be working some crazy job like selling cars when I'm 90 years old, you know. But here I am doing what I want to do pretty much, basically, with my life. I'm pretty good shape. But, you know, the Lord has done exactly what he said in Jeremiah 29:11. He's helped me prosper not only financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, especially spiritually. He's helped me do that because his plan is exactly what Jeremiah 29:11 says. And we need to allow him to do that in our lives. We need to allow the Lord to do that in our lives. Allow him to do it. And I know there are times in our lives when we can't see it, when we don't believe it. We get frustrated. We get emotional. Those are all natural things. Those are all things that everybody in the world does. But if we can really, if we really, really trust in the Lord with everything we have, his plan is going to be for our good. So now you know a little bit about me. So don't take it out on me, please. Because I've lived a good life. I look forward to living a little longer. a few years ago. They said, so Harvard's got a pill to let you live to be 120. I said, I want to take two. But I don't think that'll happen. But I've lived a good life. And we all should enjoy the life we have right now to its fullest, because God's given us the opportunity to do that. And he's given us the opportunity to reflect his image in our lives so other people can see his work in their lives. And if other people see it, then they're going to pass it on. And it keeps passing on. And that's what it's all about. Letting the world know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that he has given us the opportunities to have a one-on-one relationship with him that is better than any relationship we'll ever have. And I'm going to end with this. This is in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And I first read this when we were doing radio. I was doing a radio show with Rich. And it has stuck with me for a long, long time. It says, this is out of the message. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ's disciples worry at the center of your life, when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So let's let Christ be in the center of our life and displace our worries and our trials. It's not saying we don't have to go through the emotions and all the things that come along with it, but trust in him that in the end, it's all going to be for our good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here today. And Father, thank you for the plans that you have in my life, the plans that you have walked me through in my life. And Father, I just give you all in praise and glory for what you're going to do in the coming days. Because I know, Lord, that if I walk with you and trust in you, everything is going to be just fine. Just fine. Amen.